Being uncomfortable, or being comfortable with the uncomfortable. How many here have actually heard that phrase before? Nobody. All right. A few. Okay, good. I know there are some of us who have not heard that phrase before, but it means being willing to embrace unfamiliar, challenging, or uncertain situations as opportunities for growth and learning. It can also mean accepting discomfort as a norm and to be willing to embrace difficult situations. Some say that uncomfortable situations are necessary for mental and physical development and thriving during adversity. For example, if you want to improve your skills in whatever it may be, you should work on it more often, practice to make it perfect, instead of sitting around all day doing nothing. Similarly, if you want to become stronger physically, you must lift weights that are heavy. And this is where I first heard this term for the first time when doing a workout program, which pushes you to work hard. Get comfortable with the uncomfortable. Now, God expects diligence and working hard and not being lazy. And we also live challenging lives as we have to stand up for what we believe and do what is right in God's eyes. But if we obey God and all his commandments and know what God promises for those who believe and are diligent, then this is how we are comfortable with the uncomfortable. If there is anyone who experienced exactly this in his life other than Christ, it is Paul. I mean, there's many examples, but Paul definitely did. And through Christ, he grew comfortable with the uncomfortable. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning of verse 3. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Key word here throughout the verse is comfort. Verse 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation, also meaning comfort, also abounds through Christ. If we are afflicted, if we go through trials, if we are sick, whatever persecution, whatever we may go through, it is for your consolation or comfort and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Verse 7, and our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation or comfort. Comfortable is normal. When you have a comfortable lifestyle, you are free from hardship. You're at ease, you're relaxed, you're unworried. And all these synonyms of comfort, it also includes laziness. Why make an effort when you feel this way? If everything is great with no problems to deal with, why make a change? Does this describe us? Are we comfortable in our lives? We don't have anything really to worry about. We're stress-free. We're content overall with everything. Hakuna Matata. Another phrase you may have heard before. Now, this is a Swahili phrase, which roughly translates to, there are no troubles. Or, there's no worries in English. It can also mean, take it easy. The phrase is made up of the words hakuna, which means there is no, or there are no, and matata, which means worries. So there are no worries. Now, this phrase became popular in English, being featured in the Disney's Lion King movie in 1994. But sure, you know, it would be great to have this feeling all the time, not having to worry about anything, living a life of perfection. Well, if you happen to be in this category, where you have no trials to deal with, and everything is content and smooth and easy, then you should be worried. If we don't go through any trials, what do we grow and learn from? That is the whole point of them, so we can become perfect. And it is necessary that we go through trials. And it is a must, as James explains in James 1, verses 2 and 3. Count it all joy when we go through trials and tribulations. Why? Because we develop strength through them, if we know how to handle them. Notice Romans chapter 5, verses 3 to 5. Romans 5, verse 3. We also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, or patience. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in the hearts by the Holy Spirit, which was given to us. If we don't use the Holy Spirit in the correct way, then all those things we just read right now can't really apply. The Holy Spirit, God's power, is very important, and it is a gift that only God could give us, a gift that we need to use when we are faced with trials. It is very easy to get upset, putting matters into your own hands in difficult situations, but when we have gone through continuous trials, and oftentimes there are repetitive ones, which we hopefully have learned from in how we deal with them, it does start to get a little easier, especially knowing that God has fought our battles in the past, knowing that God continues to fight our battles in the future. Hakuna Matata goes a step further with its meaning, which also implies not worrying about things that are outside of a person's control. And many of the trials we go through are out of our control, and we just have to have the faith and the trust that God will take care of it. Have we not all been there? Do we still not go through trials? And this is why James says what he says in chapter 1. We lack wisdom at the very moment a trial sets in, because what should we do at that moment? We're faced with a difficult situation. So then what does James say in chapter 1 and verse 5? If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Verse 6, let him ask in faith without doubting. You cannot ask God for something if you're doubting, and you already have the answer. Already feel that when you're praying or asking for him. Continuing verse 12, blessed is the man who endures temptation, who goes through trials, who successfully succeeds in overcoming. Because for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. There's only one way you can love God, and we know what that is: by keeping his commandments. Let no one say when he is tempted, verse 13, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. It is not God who tempts us. It is Satan who does that. And God, of course, is testing us, allowing us to get into situations where we make a choice between right and wrong. Just like we have a choice to obey God or not, God does the same for us. He trusts that we make the right decision. Verse 14. Each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. How do you get enticed? You're taken with a bait. And there's a lot in this world with that. Everywhere we look, there are distractions. There are traps that Satan is setting up. How strong are we? Then, verse 15, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. If you don't overcome your sin, you will die. That's what God is saying here. So verse 16, once again, James is saying, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. How can anyone say no one has gone through what I've gone through? Or you don't even know what I've been through? How many times have we heard that from people that are struggling? You know, the Bible is full of examples of all those who went exactly through the same things we have gone through. Continuing in verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. In other words, there is no change. God does not change. He does the same exact thing from the very beginning until now and forever. If God doesn't change when it comes to this, we shouldn't either. Verse 18, of his own. Actually, let's go to verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues. It's a continuous process our whole lives. Continues in it, and not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. Not just that, we will be happy with what we're doing if we do the right thing. Trials are necessary for our maturity that will lead us to perfection. Now, we, God's chosen ones, those of us in this church who God has called out of this world, we can actually say that the world does not understand the trials that we have gone or go through, as the world doesn't understand the purpose of the trials that we go through. And there is no point trying to explain to those who just can't comprehend what we know, since God has not opened their minds to that understanding. It's a waste of time. What are you going to explain to them that they just don't get? Again, put it in God's hands. Let him fight the battles. Let him figure it out for us. The world is comfortable with what they can comprehend, and they may seem happy living an unrighteous physical life, being comfortable, which is only temporary anyway. And they see God's people struggling in their trials, in their uncomfortable lifestyle, and what a burden that must be, etc., etc. Oh, you cannot do that on the Sabbath? Wow, that must be difficult, right? That's what they tell us, right? How many times have we heard of that? And they may think that God is punishing us when things don't go the way they would typically expect it to go, especially if we live by God's rules. But God is going to reveal his mighty power in due time to all of mankind, and especially to everyone who should have known better but decided to quit. And then they will remember what we have taught all along through the Word of God, the Bible, not compromising in any situation we were faced with that went against God's Word. Notice Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. God teaches us, and we teach the world. Verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. He who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. We will live if we follow God as he teaches us once again through his Holy Spirit. Verse 9, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, verse 10, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. We still, no matter what problems we go through, whatever it may be, we are still supposed to be positive examples and still supposed to do good, especially to those who are of the household of faith, even more so. The Church of God is also a family, you know, and we're supposed to be there together for us. And it says here, I mean, we do good to all, but especially, even more so, to people that are of like mind. There's going to be much difficulty and destruction ahead of us in this world, without a doubt, as the Bible prophesies. And we need to be prepared spiritually at all times, making sure our relationship with God is solid. Is our relationship with God solid? God is number one. Nothing else should come before Him. Nothing. Trust in Him. Do good. He will give us the desires of our heart. Commit to Him, and He will bring it to pass. This verse is from Psalm 37. In fact, I'll go there to finish off. In Psalm 37, she just read verses 3 through 5. But continuing on with this, here is where we need to be comfortable in uncomfortable situations. In verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. That all alone is a big test, especially when you want answers right away. Or if you don't have any answers, what do? We wait patiently for God. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. See, people in the world, they think they have it all. There's no problem. They're comfortable with their lifestyle. Because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Verse 8, cease from anger, forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. If we continue to be angry, we're just hurting ourselves. That's what he's saying here. Let God figure that out. 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. Verse 12, the wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth. We are the enemy to the people in the world that hate what we believe. That's why we get plotted against in so many different ways. But what does God think? Verse 13, the Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. Verse 16, a little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. And we are considered little in the world, insignificant. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The end is what matters. Verse 18, the Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. Now, if God knows that for us, what do we have to be worried about? It's a promise he has for us. Verse 22, for those blessed by him shall inherit the earth, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. And verse 34, wait on the Lord, keep his ways, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. And when the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. Wait patiently on God, do what he tells us to do, we'll be okay. And verse 39, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them. Why? Because they trust in him.